Geeked.
Hello, geeks. I'm Princess Weeks.
And I'm Tessa Netting.
And you are listening to The Geeked Podcast, your weekly energy boost of the world's fandoms and stories you love.
Each week, we're going to skim the surface of what's popular in geek culture, then deep dive into the lore of Netflix worlds bigger than our own.
Today's world is one I can't get enough of. The baby gay in me is so happy. Heartstopper!
Princess, I am obsessed. You don't understand. I love this show. I love the characters. I am in love. My heart is literally stopped.
Tessa loved it so much she blew out her voice just squeeing over things. So please be very kind and tweet out a lot of love to Tessa, who is doing this heart-stopping episode. But yes, I am geeking out so hard over this.
I am dead, dying, just deceased. But first, Princess, what's got you geeked this week?
What's got me geeked this week? That's a good question. I am so geeked out about everything that we saw dropping from Netflix for Geek Week. Castlevania, which you know I love. Mm-hmm. School for Good and Evil, one of my favorite book series. Wednesday. I'm really enjoying all the good Netflix stuff that we're getting. And I'm also just really excited because the Pokemon games are looking so cute. And I'm just really happy for all the gaming stuff coming out. Like, between Netflix and, all the games and stuff that I've been enjoying right now, it's been a fun time to be a nerd.
It really is, because we are in Geeked Week right now. It's very intense, because all these things are dropping at the same time, so it's overwhelming, but in the best way. We've seen stuff from the series, from film, from animation. Right now is Stranger Things Day, so I just am in my element, because Stranger Things is my fave. Tomorrow, it's all about the video games, so Princess, I'm sure you're going to be living on that day.
Absolutely.
So I just can't wait to see what else we have in store. And then we're going to have our live episode happening, which is terrifying and exciting.
I agreed on both terms. It's like, ooh, but I mean, we're very charming, but it's also different when you're live. But I'm excited, and I'll be safe because I'll be with you.
Yes, exactly.
We'll protect each other. We
finally
protect and attack.
Together in person.
Finally. The vibes are going to be epic.
Cannot wait for the vibes.
Can't.
Other than that, what's got me geeked this week? Probably, I think this is a really cool thing to mention, that Kate Bush's Running Up That Hill went to number one on the iTunes charts just because of Stranger Things. I think that's pretty epic and amazing, as it should. I'm glad that it's getting another life because of Max, specifically. Another thing that I want to mention is, I don't know if you've watched this yet, Princess, but Bo Burnham released The Inside.
Oh, I didn't see that, but I want to.
Outtakes on his YouTube channel. And oh my gosh, just an hour of unused footage that he shot for his Netflix special. And I watched the whole thing, and it just reminded me, one, how brilliant this man is, and two, that I need to go to therapy.
Don't we all?
Desperately. But seriously, okay, his songwriting is just next level. I need this man to write a musical immediately. It's one of those things where he's funny, but then his musical comedy is just on another level that I need more from him. And I swear, he wrote a song about a chicken crossing a road that just emotionally destroyed me. And I was like, what? How? I can't. I cannot. It just, I mean, this pandemic really fucked us all up.
It likely won't stop. It's gonna be quite a time. Oh, one other thing that's got me geeked is I got to see Pam Anderson perform as Roxy Hart in Chicago, and she was very solid. I mean, this is her first time, and she's not a trained singer dancer, but she was having a wonderful time. She was hamming it up, and she really put her whole Pam into it. And I'm very much here for wronged women getting their coin 2022.
That's amazing. I heard she was incredible. That's so cool you got to see her. I'm jealous. I love it.
My friend told me that she was Roxy, and I was like, I told my partner, I'm like, well, we have to see it. And so it was a great night out for me and Gal Pal. So yeah, that's a very positive thing.
Yay. I love it.
And now on that note, Tessa, it's time to queer it up and talk about our little queer origin stories.
Yay, gay awakenings. Let's do it.
Okay, so before we get into all of our heartstopper feels, Tessa, I gotta hear your gay awakening story. Like, I'll start first, but I want you to start prepping yours.
Okay.
Yes. I think the root of it all is sitting with my mom on weekends watching Xena together. There's just something about a tall, leather-clad woman with dark hair and her tiny companion walking around that is just super iconic. I think that's, like, the root of it, is, like, watching Xena, seeing that queer subtext and totally getting it. And then my queer awakening moment when I was like, oh, this isn't just subtext, I really like it, is actually when Emma Watson got her pixie cut after she finished filming Harry Potter. Oh, I was like,
princess.
I was like, is that? And when she did that tongue thing in the Bling Ring trailer,
it was like a
1-2 punch of like, I think I'm in love with Emma Watson.
Oh,
and I thought I just wanted to be friends with Emma Watson. But then it was like, oh no, I have an extreme crush on Emma Watson.
Oh my gosh. Princess, literally after Emma Watson got a pixie cut, I got a pixie cut. The same pixie cut right after her. It was that iconic.
It was like a game changer. I remember being like, she's so pretty.
Cultural reset. Like,
honestly, like, I was like, that did things to me. Like, I feel like older millennials, it's like Liv Taylor. And for like our age group, it's definitely Emma Watson and her pixie cut. That was it for me. What was it for you besides the pixie cut?
Oh, well, for me, there's two things that come to my mind. The first is the first character that I was ever in love with was Turk from Tarzan. So I was basically in love with the gorilla version of Rosie O'Donnell. Which is a very interesting. I don't even know how. There's a lot of layers to that. But I just remember being like so in love with this gorilla, and then I realized that like Turk rhymed with jerk, and I was like, oh no, someone's gonna insult Turk, and I'm gonna have to like stand up for her and like save her. I don't even know. I was like thinking, there's all these layers. I was in love with that monkey, obsessed, so in love. Like her little hair, I was like, oh my god. Again, like pixie cut on gorilla, like stylish hair on gorilla, loved. And then the second moment that was like a huge gay awakening for me was actually gay Harry Potter fan fiction, specifically Drarry fan fiction, because growing up in Pennsylvania, that was the first time in my life that I, like, that my brain had processed, like, two boys being in a relationship and being in love. And it was just like, because I knew it was true, and then to see other people like writing about it and thinking about it, I was like, oh my god, yes, you understand, and I'm not crazy. Like, two boys can be in love and it can be beautiful, and this is what it is. And I don't know, it was just like such a magical moment for me, and I just like went headfirst into fan fiction, and it was the best. So those are like the two things that like are really clear in my mind that was like, oh yes, here it is. Like, swimming out from the Christian Pennsylvania.
Just like, I'm gay.
Yes.
Doggy paddling towards homosexuality. One of the things I think is funny is like, what is something that you realize in retrospect was super queer about you that you didn't see as queer at the time?
I I know exactly. On spirit days, I went all out. Like, there was a pink day, and I literally came up with a pink, like, faux leather coat, whole, like, pink. I had pink fake hair. I just went so to the extreme. It was like every outfit that I wore to school was campy and, like, ridiculous, and people made fun of me, but I didn't care because that was, like, my way of expressing myself, and I just didn't see it as anything else. But I was just like, yes, this is me. I'm here. This is like who I am. So that was like just the first thing that I was like, and looking back, I'm like, oh, girl. Like, I could have gone to any pride parade like right after school and have, like, just really fit in. What about you?
For me, it is like, so I'm a big anime fan. I love anime. And one of my first anime crushes was this character named Shishomaru. And he is what they call in anime a Bishonen. So, like, a very effeminate, pretty man. So he had, like, long white silver hair.
Oh my God, like Legolas.
Yes. So had the nails, had a little bit of eyeliner, and, like, but also was very masculine. So it was, ooh, like, seeing this very beautiful man that to me was like prettier than any lady. And mm-hmm. I was like, but then could also, or as pretty as a lady, because ladies are gorgeous. And then also was so comfortably masculine. Mm. That was like a revelation for me. And so I kept having crushes on characters who were confident in their masculinity, but leaned very feminine. And ooh, it's something that in retrospect, I'm like, oh, the type was.
Right.
Daddy, mommy in one. it's best. Like I want a single parent household where my parent is both.
It was the ultimate that combo.
Exactly. And then on my computer, I would have folders of like all of the, like, you know, you go on Tumblr and you find all these cute like fan edits of like your favorite like celebrities. Mm-hmm. It was like organized perfectly, and it was all women. And then Alan Rickman. That was the only man that I was like actively like, I love him so much. And it was just like this much older man who I didn't eroticize. So I felt so safe around him. It's like all of these beautiful, sexy women and just very dapper pictures of Alan Rickman over here. It's like I was screaming in bisexuality.
And oh my
like,
gosh.
I was just like, oh, it's just, I just think they're beautiful. Okay, let us talk about this wonderful, wonderful show. It is such a bomb on my bitter, cynical heart. It was so beautiful. And I didn't even realize, like, I bought my partner the graphic novel like a couple years ago, and I was like, you're gonna love it. It's just two sweet boys being in love. And then all of a sudden, it's a whole show. So, when did you first hear about Heartstopper? And did you know about the graphic novel first?
I did not know that there was a graphic novel. I mean, it started as a webtoon, didn't it?
Yes.
Oh my gosh, that's so wild. That's so cool.
And the author is 27. Please just put me in the ground. Put me in the ground. But Alice Osman is an iconic aromantic asexual. They talked about it. I just want to say that's so awesome. I love that one of the biggest romance sweet stories that we have is by an aromantic asexual. See, containing multitudes, the queer community. So just shout out to her.
I didn't know that it was anything before a show. I just started hearing about it mainly because my friend Francis was so obsessed that he was like putting on his Instagram stories how much he loves this show. And I was like, I need to watch this. I know this is going to absolutely destroy me. And then it did. So thank you, Francis. You're the reason why I watched this. And I'm so, so glad I did, because I think it's just, it's so vulnerable and joyful and special. It just destroyed me. I cried multiple times watching this show. Like, and I'm talking like full on sobs, like tears of joy. This was an emotional journey. Like, this show was a lot.
Well, let me get into, for those uninitiated, which if you are, girl, what are you doing with your time? So Heartstopper is a British coming-of-age romantic comedy adapted from Alice Osman uses she, her, they, them pronouns. So I'm going to use those interchangeably. The series is written by Osman, which, again, 27 years old, iconic, brilliant, never been done. It's about Charlie Spring, played by the adorable Joe Locke. Shout out to the Joes out there. A gay boy who falls in love with his classmate, Nick Nelson, played by Kit Connor. You know when someone has, like, repeating letters that they're a superhero, and Nick is adorable. They sit next to each other in form, which is basically British homeroom, and they slowly start to bond and fall in love, and it's so beautiful.
Hi. Hi. Hi.
And it also explores the life of Charlie's friends, Tao, played by William Goh, Ellie, played by Yasmin Finley, who was going to be in Doctor Who as Rose.
Oh my gosh.
And then at Ellie's new school, we also are introduced to Tara, played by Corinna Brown, and Darcy, played by Kizzy Edgell. So we have a lot of queer relationships and romances in this show, not just Nick and Charlie, but also Tara and her girlfriend, who are lesbians. And Ellie is transgender. She's a trans woman. And she has a little bit of play with Tao, who is their best friend. So there's a lot of cute stuff in this show.
Oh my gosh, yes. So you didn't read the graphic novels, or did you, before watching this?
I didn't read them. My partner did. I bought them for her.
I can't wait to read. That is something that I need to buy immediately, because I know that because she was so heavily involved in the show, that it's not going to stray far from that. And like, even the parts of the show that were so stylized, with the little like animated doodles that appeared, like when the characters were going through an emotional moment, and like the color palette, the gay lighting, it was all so good. I'm like, this is done by someone with care. Like, you can tell that she had so much to do with this show that I just want to read more, because I know it's not going to be far off from it.
It was also interesting, just talking about it from like a content perspective, mm-hmm. I really enjoyed that it was able to balance out the idea of not being ready to come out and coming out in your own time from multiple different narratives, and showing the ways in which it can be toxic and the ways in which like it can be a thing for growth, especially like Nick and Ben, like they're foils to each other. Mm-hmm. And I love how like Ben, like, it just internalized all of this homophobia and was really acting out when it came to his secret relationship with Charlie. But in comparison, Nick just treated Charlie with so much love and care and kindness. And you could really tell, like, he really was just trying to figure things out, but still wanting to honor that bond with Charlie. And that was just so important, especially compared to something like Happiest Season, where it was, like, so frustrating, because it was, again, that, like, you're allowed to come out when you're ready, or, you know, maybe you're never ready, but it's how you treat your partner that really matters in those moments. And so it was nice to see that the issue isn't like rushing someone to come out. It's how they treat and respect you while they're going on that journey.
Definitely. I mean, Nick's whole bisexual journey was just like a lot for me.
I will say, it was like, considering, you know, the climate we were in when they were like watching parts of the Caribbean, I was like, oh no. But then it was the part with Keira Knightley and Orlando Bloom, and I'm like, oh, this is, bisexuality is here. I was like, I felt that moment of like, he loves both of them. And I'm just like, me too, son. Me too, my small son. I have also watched a show and thought, I want them to kiss because I want to kiss both of them.
That moment specifically was such a personal attack because I was obsessed with those movies for the same exact reason. Like this, I used to wear like the key, like that Will used to wear. And I was like in love with like Will and Elizabeth. Like I loved both of them. And it was
so much.
I think it definitely was like one of my first bi panics that I've ever had was that those movies. And then just to think about like that again, I was like, whoa.
Yeah. You're like, wait, attack, deflect. No. Yeah, it was definitely a call out. I was just like, oh, God. And just him going into like, am I gay? I was like, me with everything.
I know, like Googling the quiz, you're just like,
yeah.
Too relatable. But it was also so nice to see just like positive bisexual representation, like
especially with a guy, because you never have that. Yeah, right. Yeah, it was so nice to see like positive male bisexuality depicted, and like I don't know, it was reassuring. No one was ever questioning it. Like even Charlie brings up like bisexuality exists, and it was just like it felt so validating to hear that. And I'm just like, ah, we are here. Hello, it's me. Mm-hmm. And then on the flip side, I was really worried that her storyline was going to be dealing with transphobia at the all-girls school because the UK be transphobic AF. And so I was very concerned about that. But it ended up being, you know, Tara's thing of coming out as a lesbian. And it's so, I think as we've progressed and we've seen sort of like transphobia being at the forefront of anti-gay legislation, it's easy to forget that like, being gay, being a lesbian, being bi is still stigmatized and still something that people are bullied and picked on for. Like, as much as we like to think that we've made progress in those areas, I think it's always good to remind people that, like, being a young gay kid is hard, no matter where you are in that community. And trying to find solidarity is very hard. And so that's why I love that it was like a friend group with multiple gay people.
Yes.
Because it's so weird when it's like one gay person in a friend group. I'm like, we collect. We literally are like the opening of the Lion King when like a new baby gay is born. We're all like, did you get the gazelles and the zebras? We gotta go and see the coronation ceremony. Like we all gaggle together in the circle of life.
Oh, yeah. I loved the friendships in this show. They felt so real. It was like just even the kids having a birthday at a bowling alley. And like I remember that. It's like, yes. And like the texting and deleting and like rewriting and deleting. It's like I felt like I was watching an authentic teenage experience because there's so many like shows right now that have like teenagers, quote unquote, and the experience is just so unlike my own experience, like Euphoria, for example.
Oh, yeah.
Like, no, sorry, that's not. I mean, I'm sure it's someone's experience, but it's not. It was not mine. And, you know, growing up in Pennsylvania in the middle of nowhere, it was just so nice to see a love story that was just really simple, you know, and focused on the little things of like them playing in the snow, them like going to the beach, them like hanging out like at each other's houses a lot and, you know, talking to their parents and talking to their friends and talking about their emotions with their friends. Cause it's like, you know, I don't know. It's just nice. It was nice.
And sometimes you just need that. For so long, queer coming of age stories have always been treated as like an othered experience. And while I think, of course, there are always going to be unique things about wherever you are in a marginalized community, I love how normal this felt.
Yes.
You know, like to me, this is no different from like a Boy Meets World, you know, something that I grew up watching of like kids struggling to figure out who he is, complicated friend group, falls in love with somebody, has epic romance. Like this is like the human quote unquote story. And so to see it so normalized in that way felt really good. And to have so much diversity amongst the characters themselves felt really good to see, because even though, you know, Nick and Charlie are both white, like, their friend group is very diverse. Mm-hmm. It was great to see, like, you know, not one but two Black girls in a friend group, and both of them very brown, to have Tao there as a young Asian man. And I really, because I know people are going to be angry at Tao, but I really felt for him.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, we talk a lot about allyship and, you know, allies be trash a lot of the time.
I'm not like homophobic. I'm an ally.
Congratulations. We thank you for your service.
But I think Tao was definitely coming from this perspective of, like, I've seen you get bullied by these people.
Yeah.
I've seen you be hurt by these people, and I don't want you to keep being hurt. And mm-hmm. I and him trying to use, like, his literal body to, like, shield his friend, but mm-hmm. also not knowing how to listen fully, but wanting to listen. Like, that's just such a human experience of just, like, wanting to protect your friend,
right,
but not having all the information.
Right.
And also, like, I keep, like, going on these little tangents.
Because, no.
Like, I just loved seeing a young boy character say, like, I'm afraid of being alone.
I don't know why I'm so afraid of being alone.
To see a young man on a show like this really get to express these very clear emotions mm-hmm. and not be villainized for it, which is also so refreshing, because we talk about wanting to see more, like, not having toxic masculinity. And I think Tao was serving, like, real, like, compassionate masculinity.
Yeah.
I just love that. I love
his
that so
action
much.
Seemed reasonable and real to me, honestly, you know? Being a survivor of the Super Hulock fandom, I have been queer baited for so long, that I had almost no trust left. So the fact that I've already found two shows this year that I mm-hmm. absolutely love that surround, like, an outwardly gay romance, like Our Flag Means Death and now Heartstopper, I am mm-hmm. just in heaven. Like, I have done my waiting in gay Azkaban for this, and it's just, I'm so happy. I'm so happy that we have these shows. I am, like, it's about time. And we need, like, we want more. Like, now that mm-hmm. I'm spoiled like this, I'm gonna be, like, I'm gonna be horrible, because I'm just gonna want more of it.
Exactly. Like, I definitely feel that way. Like, I'm just thinking about you and Grindelwald and gay Azkaban just sitting there being gay criminals.
Yes. 100%. It's important.
Also, not only is it important, but I think because we're getting so much of it, we can forget how hard it was to get there. Like, a Heartstopper now, that exists because of a lot of work, and you have to give the creators their props for that, because that took fighting for it. It is not easy to get all this gay shit made. It just isn't. It's still a fight, even to have the most, you know, quote unquote normalized of the members of the queer community, like just having a bisexual character, a lesbian character be the lead of a show for children is still something that can get you that can get your show cut. Mm-hmm. And I think it's really important to remember that as we celebrate Heartstopper, that comes from a lot of fighting from queer creators and queer writers to bring that to fruition. It doesn't just happen.
Oh, yeah. And oh my gosh. I'm gonna like cry. Wow, that came out of nowhere. Holy shit. Okay, so
heart stopped.
Wow, that was like so bizarre. I was like, oh my god, am I gonna start crying? Also, you have to like remember that when we were like growing up, when I was a teenager, there was no media like this show. You know, like there was still a lot of shame around being gay, and so like watching this was a lot, because like I never got to have that young relationship, that gay experience. There was so many years where I was like not being fully myself, when I was not even just like allowing myself to like think about those kinds of feelings. Like, thank God for fan fiction, because like that was sort of my area, but it's like I'm so happy that there are shows and content like this for, like, young queer kids to show that, like, they're not alone in their experience, like, normalizing, like you said, normalizing these feelings. Even if you think it's cheesy, like, this shit is real. Like, this, yeah. As adults, like, we want these kids to have what we needed growing mm-hmm. up. And I'm just, I don't know, I'm just so happy that this show exists. And even if it took a lot, like, we need to keep fighting for this shit because it is, like, we, not only do the kids need it, but we need it.
Absolutely. Do you, like, I want Academy Award winner Olivia Colman to hug me and tell me that they're proud yes. of me for being bisexual.
Oh, baby. Oh, thank you for telling me.
No matter how often it happens, I will never get tired of seeing parents hug and affirm their gay kids. Yeah. Because there will always be somebody who needed to see that, who never got that, or who got it but wish they could have come out sooner or mm-hmm. felt more comfortable. You know, I only came out to my father a couple years ago. Mm-hmm. And I came out to my mom years before, and I can tell you, like, as a Black person from an immigrant family, like, I was so nervous for so long, but the near universal embrace of my family is something that I never in my wildest dreams thought would happen, and that it exists is so validating every day, to not have to live in a secret, to not have to live with that burden, because it does weigh on you. It weighs on you a lot. And to see something like Heartstopper and to know that young kids are going to see this show, young Black trans women are going to see this show, young Black lesbians, young Asian, like, everybody will be able to watch this show and see that there is a possibility of community,
yeah.
a family out there for themselves. And just knowing that possibility is out there makes all the difference. Because we live in a shitty, shitty, shitty world when it yeah. comes to how it treats our communities. And sometimes you need something that will just make you feel good. And Heartstopper does that.
Mm-hmm. Oh, man. That moment that Nick came out to his mom as bi, like, that destroyed me. Like, Olivia mm-hmm. Colman just completely destroyed me. I was like, oh, man. I was like, those were when my tears were mm-hmm. just, like, full on. Like, there was that moment. There was the moment at the party where Darcy and Tara, like, kissed, and mm-hmm. they had, like, that rainbow lighting, and then it cuts yeah. to Nick, like, looking at them in this bisexual lighting, like, I want that. And I was just yeah. like, oh.
I loved the girlfriend. She said, homophobia.
Homophobia.
Women here, we got locked in.
Literally me, anytime anything bad happens to me, I'm like, biphobia everywhere. When the entire friend group came to get them out of the closet, the music room, I was just like, best friend. I was like, I'm going to tell my kids these were the Scooby-Doo kids. Like, it was just so sweet. And, like, I, again, also a smaller moment when Charlie's sister comes in and hugs him and's like, you don't make my life miserable. I was like,
Oh, yeah.
As a big sister, I felt that moment. I'm like, no one makes my little brother feel like shit. It was just so sweet.
I, honestly, every single time that Nick and Charlie hugged each other, like, they had such meaningful hugs. It was one of those things where it seemed whenever Nick, like, wanted to express his emotions and he just, like, couldn't think, like, he couldn't have the words, he just hugged Charlie instead. And it just, like, like, you could just tell, like, yes, this boy's love language is physical touch, 100%. Like, and they were just, their chemistry was unreal. Like, it was freaking real. It was amazing.
Whenever they were, like, touching pinkies, it reminded me of exactly how I felt when I was watching Bridgerton. And every time that Kate and Anthony would, like, make eye contact, I'm like, it's giving me Regency era romance.
Oh, yeah.
It's giving me, like, the meaningful touch. And yes. when Nick leaves the rugby game to go grab Charlie and take him into the room, I was like, my heart will never stop stopping.
Oh, my God.
Can't stop. Can't heart stop. Won't heart stop. I just, I,
it was so moving. And the fact that they look like such babies.
Oh, yeah.
That they're these little twees just out here being in love. And Charlie just wanting so badly to, like, feel wanted, yes, and appreciated, but being so not toxic about it. I could cry just thinking about it.
Oh, I know.
I love them so much.
I know. It's one of those things where it's like, I need to protect these characters with my life.
I know.
It's like, this is my son. Don't talk to him. Leave them alone.
Yes.
Let my babies grow.
Please. Please, guys. Like, let them grow. Don't attack them. I feel the same way. I'm just like, please, please let them live. Another thing that I really loved is Darcy and Tara together. Like, I love that they were just these, like, emotional support lesbians. Like,
oh my God.
When she was like, we're such manipulative gays. I was like,
I loved them. I loved them so much.
It was so good. And I just loved that they, like, really honored each other's experiences.
Yes.
Like, that, you know, like, Tara was a little bit anxious, but Darcy was just there being like, I got you, boo.
Right.
Like, I got you. Like, it was so sweet and supportive. When they went on their, like, quadruple date, that was, like, I also love the way Nick slowly came out to her first,
yes,
to Tara.
I know.
And then it was like, and he's, like, just out here forming a whole gay posse. And then all of a sudden it's like, he's so in love. He wants everyone to know, like, look at my beautiful Twinkie boyfriend. Don't you just love him? Don't you just love our love?
I really loved that moment of both of them because it's like, you've had that moment before where it's like someone you dated and you guys thought that, like, you were straight and then both of you are gay and you're like, ah, yes, this makes sense now. And both of them sort of had that moment together where it's like, oh, right, you and me, both of us? Yes. So I just loved that they had that friendship and that all of them had. All of these friendships just felt so real. It really did. And I don't know. There was a moment where Nick shows up, like, in the rain at Charlie's outside his door. And it,
like, Mr. Effing Darcy.
I know! Not only did it remind me of Darcy, but it also reminded me of in Carry On, like, freaking Simon shows up at Baz's house, like, covered in mud. And it's, like, the same type of thing. And it's, like, and he's, like, why are you here? And it's, like, oh, I came. And he's, like, I came for you. It's, like, that same thing. And I was, like,
Then when Charlie runs out to him so they can kiss again, I was just like, okay, guys, I get it. You're in love. You're in love. You love love.
It was beautiful.
Meanwhile, we're both in relationships, but we're like, I wish someone could love me like that.
Well, like, no, but the thing is, Princess, like, I wish I had a relationship like that, like, when I was younger. You know what I mean?
It's same, like, yeah.
Mm-hmm. It was so nice to see that because it's like, it's young love. Like, there's something different between, like, you know, the love later on that's, like, real love, and then it's, like, puppy dog, like, baby love. Like, that is, it's such a specific feeling, and they captured that so well of, like, developing a crush, getting butterflies, like, you know, that sort of, like,
that electricity,
yes,
that first charge,
uh-huh,
feeling, yeah.
It's a really specific, like, feeling in your body, feeling in your chest, like, moment of that you remember. So it's, I don't know, I just really think it captured that feeling of being in love for the first time. And it's just beautiful. This show is beautiful.
It's beautiful. No, I totally agree. And it's like, you're right, because the, like, adult love is like, do you have all those same things? But it's also like, did you feed the cat? Who went grocery shopping? Who can pay rent this month? Who can't? Managing your hours in love. But like that freedom of like, you go to school together.
Right.
So you just sit. Like, there's this one time where like, the first time after they have like their whole coupledom and like Charlie goes to eat lunch with Nick and Nick has kind of like this like little smug like, aren't your friends going to be jealous here hanging out with me? And I was like, Nick, stop it. Stop it. You're in school. Stop it. It's like those soft flirty looks he's
yes,
such a cute flirt because
yes,
they're like, they're flirting, but like in a very like, we're babies.
Oh,
and we're like, and it's just like, oh, you don't, I can't believe you just rented bubblegum to me. And I'm like, he's like, we'll just share. It's like, oh, we're sharing now. I'm like, I can't.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
I could giggle about this forever.
100%. Like, king of expressions. We love it. The cast really made this show, the whole show.
Absolutely. They like nailed good it. Chemistry is so important.
Yes.
Please keep casting for chemistry. Like, not, it's not just having two pretty people, mm-hmm. it's having that spark. And they have it absolutely.
Definitely. And it's like, and also the chemistry between friends too. It's like you have romantic chemistry and then you have friendship chemistry. And that's another thing that Stranger Things does really well and that mm-hmm. this show does really well and that I want other shows to do well because there's a difference between something like, I don't know, like Harry Potter that has all of these movies. And so you grow up with the characters just because you've been watching it for so long. Like you just have that feeling. But then like something with this where just right from the beginning, it feels real. It's not something that like, oh, this would have felt like we've known each other after like five seasons of Heartstopper. And then you're like, oh, right. Yeah, this feels like a real friend group. Because like, no, almost immediately you felt like this was real, that you could like, you want to join their friend group. It feels so real.
Yeah. And I also, again, love that no one was weird about Tao and L being a thing.
Oh, yeah.
In terms of like sexuality and gender identity, because it's so easy to fall into those tropes,
right?
And that wasn't there, and that just felt so good because they are so cute together. And
oh, they are.
I love seeing like an interracial couple between two people of color. I'm like, that is something that we don't get a lot of, and I'm just really excited to see where it goes.
Oh my gosh, I loved their like arcade moment. I've had that moment. We've had these moments.
You're like, it's me. I wish I went on more video game dates, honestly. I should do that now as an adult.
You I'm should. Gonna be like David I'm Busters. Like, let's go.
Yes. I'm down. Get all the tickets.
Oh, I used to go to Dave and Buster's all the time. It was like such a thing. And when I was growing up, like going to the mall was what we did. We all like went to the mall, went to the arcade and like did DDR. Yeah. I love Tao and L together though. It was one of those things where like it was like a classic best friends who both want more but are worried about like ruining their friendship.
The friendship. Yes. And I'm like, don't worry, guys. Like, let it ride. Like you're all queer, which means that your relationship, you will still be friends with each other even after you break up. To the point where like then you'll be at each other's wedding. It's be like, hello, this is my list of exes. Also, this is my wife. Like that's literally the future.
Oh, that's too real. That's amazing.
So that has been our long cry emotional dish session over Heartstopper. But before we go, one more thing. I just want to say that please keep hiring these beautiful, diverse casts. And, like, please keep putting dark-skinned actresses in your productions, okay? Like, brown people come in all colors. We don't need to only focus on the lighter end of the spectrum. Like, I really loved seeing a dark actress playing Tara, and it is so important that as we represent people that we are bringing in body diversity and skin diversity. So put more body and skin diversity in your queer shows.
Yes. And my one more thing is that this is my new go-to gay comfort show. I'm so happy. I really needed one. Like, I had my go-to gay comfort book series, like the Carry On series. Now I have this. But it's like, what are both of these things have in common? It's just two, like, males. Give me some more soft lesbian, you know, stories. We need this is a good start, but we need more. Give us more. Like, we want more fluffy gay stories. Like, not everything needs to be dramatic or traumatic. Like, just give us some more fluff, please. I want to eat it all up. Thank you.
Please and thank you.
The Geeked Podcast is hosted by me, Tessa Netting.
And me, Princess Weeks.
Find me on Instagram and TikTok at Tessa Netting.
And you can find me on YouTube as Princess Weeks and on Twitter at Weeks Princess.
Reminder that tomorrow we are going to be live, baby. So be sure to catch our stream. And if you miss it, have no fear. We'll be dropping the episode in the podcast feed next week.
This is a Netflix Geeked and Spoke Media production.
Our executive producers are Keisha TK Dutez, Brigham Mosley, Aaliyah Tavakolian, and Keith Reynolds.
Kelly Kolf is our producer and Reyes Mendoza is our associate producer. Delara Patton is our coordinating producer. Special thanks to Carson McCain.
Sound design and engineering by Evan Arnett, who also composed and performed our original theme.
To stay updated on all things Geeked, be sure to follow at Netflix Geeked on Twitter, Instagram, and TikTok.
And if you aren't following the Geeked podcast, what are you waiting for? You can find us wherever you listen to podcasts. Also, if you absolutely love us, which I don't know how you wouldn't, make sure to leave us a 5-star review.
Thank you so much for listening. Bye. Geeked.